Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to us today. We are very happy to have you. So, we talk a lot about business stuff, right? And all the things that you have to have or you need to have, or the, you know, make sure you have this and you have that and you have all the things, because it's important to have all the things. But we wanted to kind of slow it down and take each piece, maybe like each category, one at a time and walk through the intention behind why you need the thing that we're saying you need.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to be talking specifically about the client handbook. And a question I get asked all the time is, why should I have a client handbook before I start seeing clients? So we're going to talk about the importance of that. You know, like when we started our practice, we didn't know what we were doing, right? And April, you came, you know, from working in the field and having, you know, like, okay, I know some of the stuff that we should ask the client before the family, before we start working with the child. But why are we taking this? And should we take this? And is there more information that we should take? It was like,
right. Well, and a lot of things were, it was really based on the funder too, because when we first started out, we had private pay, but then we also had like certain county contracts and, you know, city and just random contracts.
Right.
And sometimes they would have specific items that they were requesting, and sometimes they didn't. But
right.
Then when the mandates rolled around to Virginia, where we were,
right.
And we started looking into becoming a network with insurance, then there was a lot of what felt like random pieces of information that we would need in certain situations and maybe not in others. And so then it really, the overwhelm started to come in of like, how do you know what you need to know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And like just looking, you know, the first in-network audits we had with Optum and Kaiser, I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here that we weren't taking. So it was just getting through that and not knowing what we didn't know and where do we go to find out what we need. And mm-hmm. It was just, it's so much. And really, that's why I started 3 Pi Squared, is to help you through this, because it's, you're working with clients and dealing with families and employees and all this stuff. The last thing in the world that you want to also figure out is, how do I psychically link to all the places that I need to go to find out all the rules I need to follow? So, you know, that's really where we're going today, is, again, why in the world do I need a client handbook before I start seeing clients? And so, yeah.
So ahead. We're going to go through 3 key points for today,
mm-hmm.
Of why you need the client handbook before you start seeing clients.
Yes.
Pick up that word. And
in this
conversation today, the before is very important. Yes, of course, Yanni, we need a client handbook. But why do we need a client handbook before we start seeing clients? Before that very first client. Number one, because it helps with clear client communication and professionalism and credibility and compliance and legal protection. So those are the 3 key points that we're going to discuss today.
Yes. So the first one is clear communication, right, with your clients. So this is, in a lot of cases, the starting point of your client's journey, right? So like through the entire process. So having that new client application, and are they even your client, right? So this is, again, part of that client handbook is who do you serve? So what age range, you know, what's the demographic, what area are you taking clients in, right? Is this a clinic? Is this in home? So these are just like very foundational things that your clients are going to want to know. And knowing your client, and who you're going to serve, super important, so that as you get intakes or new client applications in, that you can say, yeah, I'm sorry, we don't serve you, sorry, you know, but we can certainly refer you out, right?
Yeah, this is a piece that you may not think about including in your client handbook, because it's the pre-steps, you know, right. It's the screening process, which is still very important. And we get that question. We've gotten it quite a bit recently.
Right.
I think as more people are getting more and more prospective clients coming through, and they're getting the word out about their practice. And then it's that tricky situation of, okay, we need new clients, but I don't know that this person's a match. How do I know they're a match? How do I know they're the right client for us, or, you know? And so having those screening tools, which could be a simple checklist or, you know, a worksheet or anything, right? But knowing what it is, it doesn't matter so much as what it is, but knowing at least what process you're going to start off with in the beginning. And then you can, these are all living documents. You can tweak them and update them as you learn and as you go. But yes, so having a screening process and having it outlined in your client handbook so that you, your employees, your prospective clients all know what to expect from the very beginning.
Correct. Yes.
And it also helps to back yourself up, right? Because sometimes it can be really tough, right? Yes. Like you get a mom on the phone. I say mom could be a dad, grandma, whoever, saying, help. We are struggling. We need your help.
Yep.
And if we're like, oh, sorry, we can't take you. You know, of course, I don't imagine you're going to be rude to them, but still, you know, or you might end up taking this client on, even though you feel like it's not really quite what kind of client that we have the skills to help at this point, or the manpower or whatever. So knowing, being able to refer back to your policy and your client handbook and, you know, according to our policy, these are the three screening factors, however you want to say it, right? But it just gives you something to refer back to in those like tricky situations.
And then, you know, like this is something that some of you may already be going through, but this is something that we had to deal with somewhat painfully, I think, is when you went from seeing all the clients like face-to-face, knowing all the parents' names, all the clients' names, what the issues were in the home, what you were working on, and you were transitioning out, right? And we hired an admin person, right? And they were taking on some of this client, some of the client-facing stuff, or the BCBAs were taking the intakes. It's like, we can't do this willy-nilly anymore, right? We need those clear expectations, so it doesn't matter if it's an admin person talking to the client, if it's a BCBA talking to the client, RBT talking to the client, me talking to the client, we all were saying the same thing, right?
Right.
So it's really important that you have those clear policies so that everybody's on the same page. Everybody's giving those clear expectations. So it doesn't matter who's speaking for the company. Everybody knows, right?
Right. And I think that's also a part of the client handbook that can be so helpful in the beginning as we're introducing, because essentially, right? Okay, let's say you've passed the screening portion and, you know, you're now in the intake meeting with your new client, right? The first thing that you want to do is to be able to clearly communicate to them what the expectations are,
right,
what you're here to do, what your job is. I mean, a brief explanation of ABA, a brief description of like how your services work. And then within that, like also the summaries of what is a BCBA, what is a RBT, what are the roles, what are the roles of these people within your company? Because even if they're not new to ABA, they're new to your company. And we all do things a little differently. And so who to communicate with, you know, like, so job, you know, simple job descriptions, you know, it's not going to be the same as what's maybe in other areas of your how you're going to post it in other areas of your business. Correct. I mean, keep it like simple, but like simple job descriptions, and who to go to when, right? Those are going to be some very beginning things to point out. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have, before I go into a few more pieces that are important, the client handbook is going to be quite lengthy. I would, you know, I'm going to be so bold to say if you're doing it right, it's going to be long.
Ridiculously long.
It's just stupid long, like just crazy. And it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be overwhelming for your new clients. It's going to be overwhelming potentially, like if you're, you know, transitioning this over, like starting to delegate for other people to do it outside of yourself. It can be very overwhelming. So I think part of that is also knowing what key points that need to be gone over on day one or within the first day or two of meeting this family. And then having, you know, some of the stuff you definitely want to make sure they read over, and they can read over at their leisure and they can ask you questions and things like that. But you're going to want to know going into it, like the key points, what they need to know on day one to help with communication, for to help them understand like scheduling, how scheduling works, who to call when. Mm-hmm. That's what made me think of that. And those basic pieces. And because I also think that sometimes we go in on the intake and we just like roll through all of this information, all of those policies and procedures, and because it's not new to us and it kind of just seems like old news to us as we get used to it. And then our poor guardian or parent of this child we're seeing, or the client themselves, depending on who you're serving, you know, may give you that like deer in the headlights look and not walk away with the key important parts that you want them to know. So definitely make sure that you highlight what's important for your for your agency that you want them to know on day one.
So we're setting, you know, we're gonna have clear expectations, right? This is gonna be a great, it's going to walk them through how the intake process works, right? And what things they need to bring in order to serve this child. So like all the insurance stuff that you need to fill out, what do we need there? So it's going to be a clear, it's going to present this out very clearly for your clients. Because, you know, it's, I don't know that if you mentioned, but you, especially if they're new to ABA, this may be very overwhelming for them, right? So we want to have clear expectations and how they get through this process. And then, you know, again, doesn't matter who is doing this. We want those clear policies so that they understand it, I think is really the big things on why, right?
Yeah, I do. I think so. And just to kind of share a little bit about when we were starting off, and then also like throughout our journey of what our client handbooks look like in the beginning, we just had some, honestly, some things that, like you said, like from previous employers that I worked with, and I was like, oh, okay, I know we need to get this, I know we need to get that. Maybe the contract that we had, maybe there was certain information that was needed through them, or they had intake forms that they were sharing with us, you know? Right. And so we're like, oh, this is kind of helpful. You know, we did a lot of Google searching and things like that. And so we got what we needed. But along the way, I think the biggest thing that I learned was that clear communication from the beginning is so important, because it really helps to set up that working relationship with the family. And so a lot of the fires that you find yourself putting out, a lot of the irritations and the things that just kind of eat away at your time, that you, things that you don't want to be dealing with, like people complaining, people not following a procedure, whether it be like not calling in on the right, not sending the copay the right way, whatever, like little things that become big things. Over 12 years ago, we started our own ABA practice. And let me tell you, the journey was overwhelming.
They're always asking, do we have everything we need? Are we missing something? And honestly, we didn't know what we didn't know.
That's exactly why we created our client handbook, to give new and existing ABA practices the clarity and confidence we wish we had.
From the initial onboarding service policies like in-home session guidelines, the risk assessment, the onboarding process, medical questionnaire, we've got you covered.
With two comprehensive updates a year, all free of charge, and having been vetted by over 1,000 practices, you can trust our handbooks.
We want you to have the peace of mind that we yearned for years. With our guide, you don't have to worry about the unknowns.
Because we've been there, done that, and now we're sharing it with you. So check it out today and empower your ABA practice.
If you're starting out, like really making sure that you're clearly communicating what these things are, or if you've been in practice for a few years and you're finding yourself like,
this is all you deal with,
complaining about a specific thing over and over and over, take a minute, pause, take a breath. Maybe it's time to look back at your policies and your procedures and how you're communicating those, how you are, you know, following up with those, with your clients. And I know that years and years and years of practice, it took me a while to figure that out of like, oh, they're not trying to be difficult most of the time. They were not trying to be difficult.
I would agree with that.
They may be confused. They may be overwhelmed. Yeah. They, you know, when we started our practice, we've shared the story years ago, like we were not parents yet. We were like right there about to be, but we were not parents yet. And even though I felt like I was really in tune, I babysat for years. I'd been in people's homes. I, you know, felt really in tune with the needs of parents. I didn't really understand until I was one myself. Yeah. And I can imagine like the, you know, think about the grief, think about the overwhelm, think about the sadness, think about the worry, think about, you know, the sleep deprivation, like that parents go through, especially when you've just received a diagnosis or you're going, you know, through that whole process. So if you have clear communication, and a resource, a document that you can refer them back to, that really is helpful because like, oh, hey, I noticed that you sent your copay this way, or you tried to give the copay to the tech on her way out the door. I just want to remind you on page 4 of the handbook, our policy is we would like for you to do this way. How can we work together? You know? And so that was the other big piece of that clear communication is referring back to it. Like as much as you might feel like a broken record, just keep referring back to, oh, you know, so that they can see that, oh, okay, well maybe this client handbook is actually a helpful resource and not just some paperwork writing that I have to stuff. Do. And then I just file it away or throw it away or, you know, and I don't have to look at it again. Like it's you know, you're going to present it as this is going to help us communicate. And this is a resource for you, as well. So,
And I just to go off of what you said, the not just, you know, the diagnosis and the grief and overwhelm, but like, it's just life. Like, you
probably,
do you have more kids and what do they go to? Right. Do they have soccer practice? They have karate, right? Like, and so it's like, dude, I have life outside of this, right? And as we all know, ABA can be very intensive, right? And so we're talking probably a minimum 10 hours a week. And so if it's more than that, 20, like, dude, like I have other things that I, groceries, right? Like it's just life in general. So yeah, so I would agree again, most of the time, like it's because they have other things that they have to do, right? And so knowing a clear expectation on what the cancellation policy is. And again, the RBT is saying the same thing that the BCBA is saying, that when they call the admin person, everybody's saying the same thing. So it can be very helpful. And then the last thing I'll say on this is, if you can answer this question with confidence, then maybe you don't need a client handbook. But what is your intake process? How does that look? And if you're like, okay, I have a clear expectation in my intake process, then okay, maybe you're good, right? But if you're like, I don't know, then you need a client book.
Well, I will say, even if you know what your clear intake process and you can spout it out by memory right now, you still need a client handbook.
Sure, you still need
it written out so the other you can communicate to.
But I'm going to assume if they can answer that clearly, then they've got it written out.
Well, they've got it written out, right? And they probably have their client. Yeah, just make sure whether you come to us for a client handbook or you make your own or whatever, just make sure it does. It's not just in your head. Make sure that it's out.
Please come to us.
In a document somewhere. We do hope you come to us.
Yeah, so we have a client handbook for you. So isn't that great?
All right. So that was all about the importance of
clear communication.
You know, clear is kind. Client communication, super important. And your client handbook can be the major tool to help facilitate that clear communication and be a resource for everyone involved. So next, we are going to talk about professionalism and credibility. So why? Why talk about that?
I mean, it's very similar to the other handbooks, right? But when you come to, again, an overwhelmed, more than likely, parent who is desperately looking for help, if you come in there I guess we fill out this, or maybe we should fill out that. This is not setting a good, I don't know, what do they say? You only have one chance to make a first impression, right?
Yeah.
And so that's not going to be helpful, right? It's certainly not going to make parents feel like, oh yeah, I could definitely trust this person, right? So a very clear process for your intake, you know, having very clear expectations is going to, it's just going to make you more trustworthy, right? They're going to be, okay, this person knows what they're doing. Pardon my language, but they've got their shit together, right? And so they just know, okay, this is the process. I'm going to follow it. And it's just going to help with that trust.
Right. And having your process in a document, right, whether it's electronic document, I mean, we suggest electronic documents, but paper, or whatever, having it written, having it in a clear, communicated in a clear way where they can refer back to it. And it's laid out in a way that can be understood and that can be easily navigated,
right.
To know, oh, let me flag page 4, or let me screenshot page 3 and put it in my phone because I know I'm going to refer back to this on a regular basis, mm-hmm. that type of thing. But yeah, as far as trust, it is super important to, I want to be careful here because I don't want to say fake it till you make it at all, because I know that none of you guys are faking it in how you're showing up to provide your services. But even if you're starting out first client, right? Maybe the client showed up before you were quite ready, but you definitely want to take this client and you want to get started. And it can be a great learning process. You don't always have to, things don't have to be perfect. They're never going to be perfect. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row before you get started. But I would suggest that you at least get a start and you have your main ducks in a row, and you at least have those beginning critical pieces, and that's your first round of your client handbook, if that's what it needs to be, right? But you need to show up to even your first client with your client handbook, with your policies, with your procedures, even if you only have a few. Whatever you have, still show up with those. And, because these people are going to understand, because I'm sure you've been transparent that you're just starting out, and you can let them know that these are going to be growing. And as you change, you're going to be adding to them. Now, that being said, make sure that you do want to make sure that you continue to grow your policies and procedures, grow your handbooks, right? That's why we're here. We're definitely here to help you, because when you are going through this list a mile long of all the things you need to do to create your company, one of the things that tends to
get pushed aside. Is the client handbook, right? You're like, oh, I'll just kind of do the best I can. And we've got your back. We can help you out. We do have client handbooks that are definitely a great starting point. And they need minimal editing for, you know, to make them your own in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is you just show up with those clear expectations and the client handbook from the very beginning. It should definitely be on your top priority list of things to get done before you start accepting clients. Of course, if you are going in network with insurances and that thing, a lot of this stuff is going to be part of that process as mm-hmm. well. So you're going to have a good bit of this already. But it's really, you know, as a company, as a business, giving any kind of service, but especially providing services for, you know, individuals on the autism spectrum, which most of you guys, I believe that's what everyone is for the most part, providing services for. You do want to show up with, there's compassion in that, right? Within your profession ability, like you want to be professional, but there's also like some compassion that helps by saying, hey, we know what we're doing. We've got this. Right. And that kind of circles back. It's like my long way of kind of getting back to that from starting off of like, you know, it's not a fake it till you make it, but you still want to, you want the policies and procedures and the documents and all of these things that surround all these other things that are needed that are surrounding your key services that you're providing. Having those in place really helps to build that trust and, you know, professionalism for your clients.
Yeah. And like, just to kind of build off what you said, but like, even if you've been through the intake process with another company many times, I'm going to assume, at least that what I've seen is starting out, there's going to be, again, you know, you say you're very excited, you've got this client, right? You may forget pieces, you may you want to show up in a certain way, right? And so having this handbook spelling it out all together, it gives you a certain level of confidence that you just may not have refer back to. Do you know what I mean?
And that, thank you for helping me, because I like kind of clear that up a little bit, mm-hmm. because it's like, whether you're in home and you're going and you're sitting in someone's living room having this conversation, or whether they're coming to your clinic and they're sitting down and you're at your table or office having this conversation, you want to be able to sit there and feel very confident in how you are showing up, and you want that person to feel, okay, they've sure. got this. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
My child's going to be safe here. They, you know, they're able to communicate to me. Okay. This looks like a legit business, you know, but if you're like, oh, let me bring my spiral notebook in and let me tell you what I think, you know, I mean,
you do you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really, I think that highlights professionalism and credibility yeah. pretty well. So again, it kind of builds off clear communication, but like when you can clearly communicate, you're going to come off more professional and credible, I think.
Yeah, right? For sure. So our last thing for today is compliance and legal protection.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, like This is why, the main point, right, of why I do what I do is my experiences in passing internal audits in aerospace and automotive audits and then when you started your practice, April, like, you know, again, we kind of just willy-nillied it. You were a lot of self-pay, and then it got really serious really quickly with different funders. And when they came with these in-network audits, it was just like, whoa. And so, you know, my experience, I was able to help with this and just having understanding what you're doing, right? And knowing that there are a lot of laws and rules that you need to follow. And I don't want this to be scary. It's just, this is a fact. And so knowing that you have state regulations that you need to be following, there are federal regulations that you need to follow. And then there's also going to be funder regulations that you need to follow. And in some cases, a funder may require that you do something, even if you're a small company, that you would may not necessarily need to follow, like OSHA, right? OSHA has a certain number of employees that they normally they don't normally need you to follow these rules unless you're a larger company, but your funding source may require that you follow them. So it's really important that you understand there are a lot of rules that you need to follow, and you want to protect yourself, right? And that's really where we're coming from, is that you're creating a company that is important to you. You want to provide quality services, and you want to help children, and that's awesome. And you know, like, I'm very honored to be a part of this thing. I never knew that I was going to get into this, that's for sure, but you know, I'm in this space, and I want to help people do that, because it's a very honorable thing to do. And so the problem that you may run into is that, well-meaning as you are, you may do some things that you're not supposed to. And so having that foundation and following those requirements and having those protections in place is going to mean that you can keep on providing these services with your company for a very long time. And again, it doesn't take much, you know, just the fact that you have policies in place and you're treating all of your clients equally. If you just want to go from that, right, that we're treating everybody the same, we're not causing any issues here, like, just that in itself is super important. You know, and then you get into the financial responsibility and notice of privacy practices. And this is another podcast that we'll be doing after this one on what are the most important things to have in a client handbook. It's just so important that you're following these things, and sometimes it gets in the way of providing services, unfortunately, but it's so important that you have those pieces in these handbooks. So not only do you understand your rights, but your clients understand their rights. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said it and summed it up really nicely. Okay,
cool. All right, yeah, we're done though.
Well, no, we're not. Well, we just wanted to share with you some frequently asked questions. Oh. So one of the questions we get asked is, the handbook is so long. How do you ensure your families read this? Do you go over the entire thing with them?
No, you don't. So like normally what we recommend doing is you're going to have your own pain points. So maybe, you know, like the pet policy, maybe, you know, one of your techs got lovingly attacked by a dog, right? And so this is just one of those things that you go over with all the families that have pets. Maybe smoking, you know, you frequently get people that are smoking in the home while therapy is being performed. Okay, this may be one of the ones that you go over. Cancellation may be one of the things that you go over often.
Well, you know, like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast today, you know, any of the key main points that they need to be able to communicate with you and to understand the basic foundation of the services right. that you're providing and the minimum processes that they'll need to follow.
Right. And then there are obviously some that they have to sign. Right. So you're going to go through those ones. But there's a lot here. So some of it you're not going to go through. There's going to be some pain points that you're just going to be like, yeah, it happens so often. I'm going to sit here and we're going to discuss it. Right. And then you refer back to the client handbook. So that's typically what we recommend. Mm-hmm.
Some people send it ahead of time, like electronically ahead of time to the families before they sit down and have the intake to give them some time to look over it. Some people pull it out fresh, first look during the intake. Play around with it and you just really try different ways to see what works best for you. Mm-hmm. And as you are, you know, whether if you're already in been providing services for quite a while, you'll probably already know, have a good idea of how you want to approach this. Mm-hmm. But if you're brand new starting out, you may just want to start with a minimum, and then you can kind of make the process your own as you learn and go. But I would not recommend just sitting down and reading the whole thing with a parent the first day. Well, like I already said, too much. And you do need some kind of documentation that they did review it. And that they've seen all the pages, right? So you do have to make sure that you get that signature, whether you get that in person or, before their first session, that you have to have whatever, but you do need to have some checks and balances to make sure these things are getting done.
Correct.
All right. So the next question was, how do you get your families to sign the handbook? Well, Stephen has more on that.
Yeah. So like, I don't recommend sending it again, if you're using ours. So this is what I get asked very often. Don't send it over as a Word document, right? Like the only people that need editable documents are the people that are editing the documents. So you would save this as a PDF, and then make it a fillable PDF. You can put this on your website for your clients to download them. Some people will email them. The other option is electronic and have them sign them via electronic. But again, some especially newer companies, you don't have a ton of money to spend, and having these electronic where it's HIPAA compliant, it may be $50-$60 a month. And, starting out, that's a lot of money. So, doing them as a fillable PDF where they can be downloaded from your website or you're emailing them may be the best option to start with. Now, just something to be aware of. Some people may not have the ability to fill this out on a computer, and then they may want them to be printed off, and then, they're signing them and now we have paper documents, and that's a whole other issue. So that's just something to be aware of. So if you can make them electronic, that can be very helpful to everyone involved, on the admin side of things. So, but yeah.
How often do you send your families updates?
So really anytime you update a policy, you should be letting your families know, that you've updated a policy, right? And so especially if it's like a legal policy, financial responsibility, mandate a reporter, notice of privacy practices, something like that. That should be immediate. But you should really update, let them know as soon as possible. Just again, so it's professional and credible, right?
Yeah, and I think if honestly any new policy or procedure that you add in, and let's say you need it for one particular case, you send it out to all, whether that's like the clinical director, yourself, the BCA, whoever has that like case management kind of thing, parent training. Yes. Would just go over it really quickly. If it's like something super simple, maybe an email with like a quick signature and sent back might mm-hmm. be due, but definitely get those signatures and then you would just add it in. Some people have shared that they do it at the beginning of their the beginning of the year, like when you're checking for insurance, like mm-hmm. benefits and things like that. At the beginning of each year, you just go ahead and do it. So it really depends. You do want to make sure that they're valuable documents, and they're meaningful. And I think that's a big point that we've gone over it today, of how can you make them meaningful and valuable and not just some like paperwork that gets thrown around right. from here, from time to time. And that will also help to increase like that buy-in and getting those signatures and stuff. But sometimes you just have to make a point to have someone chase down everyone to get all the signatures that you need. Okay, our last question for today. How do you make sure all of your staff members know about all of the policies and updates that you make within the client handbook?
Yeah. So again, it's very similar. You're going to like, so having some kind of client or sorry, not client, employee portal, a SharePoint, something like this, where you can then see, okay, they reviewed it on this day, it can be very helpful in this, but you need some way, especially again, for those client facing employees, so that everybody's on the same page. Because, you know, very similar to what you said, we want these to be meaningful and valuable. We want to do what we say and say what we do. And so if this handbook is 3 years old and, oh yeah, we don't do it that way anymore, no one's going to take these seriously, and no one's going to follow them. So it's really important that you have some kind of updating procedure, as one of your procedures. And so how do you get everyone to know that, okay, this has been updated? And yeah, this would again be part of the RBT's supervision, right? Or your BCBA meeting that you may have a team meeting weekly. But yeah, this would be, you'd want to have this reoccurring on a regular basis in some way to get the updates, especially if they're critical, to everyone as quickly as possible.
Right. Well, in our company, we had, it was part of training, right? So it was part of intake for a new employee, whether it's admin or tech or BCBA or whoever, right? They all had to review the client handbook and know how to refer back to it. You don't have to memorize it,
right,
but you have to know how to refer back to
correct
it.
Yes.
And so that they could also help to refer back. And we allowed them, like, you know, I know that there's like some controversy over what questions can different levels of employees answer for the clients. But it's, you know, a lot of the main simple stuff, like we would tell all of our employees that if a parent asked you that question, you could say, oh yeah, you can find that in your handbook. I believe it's page 5. Like, right, just think about if you're shopping at a big box store and you're like, where do you find the dish soap? And they're like, oh, that will be on aisle 3, you know, just kind of having enough information, or, hey, let's pull this up together and I will help you find this in the handbook. And then if not, then you go to the next avenues of asking the right people and all of that, for that's information for another day. But it's super important, yeah, that your employees understand and know how to navigate the client handbook.
Yeah, I think that goes, again, back to the professionalism and the credibility, right? And then a clear communication. So yeah,
well, that's it for today.
Yes.
We are so happy that you joined us today, and hopefully some of the information that we shared with you is helpful. If you would like to learn more about having a client book and getting that in place before your client, feel free to sign up for a free consult. If you would like to learn more about purchasing the handbook, or you have any other questions for us, that link will be in the notes.
Yes, along with the link to the client handbook. All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.